Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful unto me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies came against me, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. He shall set me high upon a rock. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies came against me, they stumbled and fell.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to
with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who art merciful, and through Christ didst promise us that thou wilt neither judge nor condemn us, but graciously forgive us all our sins, and abundantly provide for all our wants of body and soul. We pray thee that by thy Holy Spirit thou wilt establish in our hearts a confident faith in thy mercy, and teach us also to be merciful to our neighbor, that we may not judge or condemn others, but willingly forgive all men. And judging only ourselves, lead blessed lives in thy fear through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this fourth Sunday after Trinity is found in the 65th chapter of Isaiah, the 17th through the 19th, and the 24th and 25th verses. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and when they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. Make atonement for our sins, O Lord. Lest the nations say, where is their God? Help us, O God of our salvation. For the glory of your name, deliver us. The epistle lesson is found in the 8th chapter of Romans, the 18th through the 23rd verse. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia, alleluia. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed in time of trouble. Alleluia.
Is found in the 6th chapter of Luke, the 36th through the 42nd verse. Therefore be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn 287.
Thank you.
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in Jesus Christ our Savior. Our text is the Gospel lesson, Luke chapter 6, verses 36 through 42. Therefore be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? And how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Here ends the gospel. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's always fun to talk about other people's sins. It's one of the world's favorite topics, the stuff which we call gossip. And gossip is popular because it feels so good to engage in it. That's because when you're gossiping about other people's faults, you feel better about yourself. The news that sells is always the big crime stories, or the politician that got caught cheating on his wife, or the outrageous behavior of some celebrity. The magazine racks are full of this stuff because gossip sells. But if it were your name in the gossip column, suddenly things would be different. You don't want your dirty laundry aired out before the world. If the roles were reversed, you would be outraged. So think about that the next time you're ready to discuss your neighbor's sin. Think about how you would feel if it was your sin that somebody else were discussing. When we begin reading this gospel text, it strikes a chord with us because we don't want other people gossiping about us and judging and condemning us. But it also speaks against us. For as much as we don't want others judging us, we certainly do love to judge others. Our lesson is a very popular text among those who do not want their behavior judged at all ever. Say one word about their sin and they are quick to say, "Judge not and you shall not be judged." But that is an abuse of this text because that's not what this text is about. It has little to say about somebody going to a brother who has fallen into some sin and seeking to win him back. It's not about the public sins of impenitent sinners, such as living in open adultery. It's not even talking about condemning false teachers and holding them accountable for their false doctrine. The Word of God has a lot to say on all of those subjects, but that is not what this text is about. And anyone who uses this text to justify their public sin or their false teaching is abusing God's Word. Now, this lesson is not about the sins of other people, but about your sin. It begins with an admonition that governs the entire lesson. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. In other words, just as your Father in heaven has been merciful to you, just as he has forgiven your sins, just as his Son Jesus Christ has died and risen again so that all might be saved. Consider all things that your neighbor does against you according to that same mercy. You can easily see what Jesus means by turning this around. And consider how it would be if you were to treat your neighbor if you ignored the mercy of God. The first thing to go is the reason that you need God's mercy. You need it because if it were not for God's mercy, you would be damned. You may not know that this is true of your neighbor because, after all, you cannot see what's in your neighbor's heart. You cannot see what secret things he has. All you can do is see what he does and hear what he says. But you certainly know your own heart. Whatever faults you may find in your neighbor will always be dwarfed by the faults that God finds in you. For God can see every thought of your heart and every emotion of your soul. So do not be so quick to deny your neighbor the mercy of God. For consider what it means if you were without mercy. Your neighbor, however much he might annoy you, or maybe even done cruel things to you, in your own eyes must still be a saint compared to your own sins. For you do not know how your neighbor thinks. You do not know what motivates him, but you experience your own anger and hatred every day. You might not see your neighbor engage in fornication, but you know the lust which dwells in your own heart. Therefore, be wise and consider that if God has forgiven you so much, that you surely must be a greater sinner than your neighbor, how much more God has had mercy on your neighbor, whose sin against you is rather small in comparison to your sin against God. Rejoice then in the mercy of God, and do not neglect to hear it or to receive the forgiveness of your own sins. For without this mercy covering your own life, you can quickly forget about your faults and foolishly make yourself the judge of your neighbor and not yourself. You can be completely blind to your own sin, even as you go to your brother and start accusing him. You who have a plank in your own eye are ready to set your brother straight and pull the speck of sawdust from his eye. For if you cannot even see your own great sin, how can you possibly think that you will be able to judge your brother's sin correctly? A self-righteous attitude will blind you to the matter, and it will make even the small hurts seem great. And how easy it is to get caught up in that sin. When a neighbor or a coworker or a family member harms me in some way or says or does something cruel or carelessly, the last thing in my mind is forgiveness and mercy. You know well how it goes. It may begin by being irritated at your neighbor, but it quickly turns to anger. You keep thinking about the harm he did you and how wicked he must be. And before you know it, anger turns to hatred and maybe even to thoughts of revenge. How are you going to get even? When you have been wronged, there is not a thought about in your mind about showing your neighbor mercy, about forgiving him. If your first inclination was to show mercy and forgive, imagine how many of the hurts that your neighbor commits against you would just evaporate because they were never that bad to begin with. And if there are still great and grievous faults that he has committed against you, your desire to forgive will put you in a very different frame of mind, and it will open the door for you to approach your neighbor in meekness, coming to him as one sinner going to another sinner. But what about those great faults? The ones your neighbor might not stop committing against you that do cause you great harm, so that you suffer because of it, and sometimes you suffer greatly. What if they persecute you and they will not relent, no matter how much you might go to them and plead with them? Even then, the mercy of God in Jesus Christ is your great comfort and assurance. For nothing your neighbor could possibly do to you can compare to the persecution which Jesus has endured on your behalf. He received persecution from men, yes, more so than you will ever know, but he received so much more from his Father in heaven when he endured God's wrath against your sin upon the cross. So what is the suffering which your neighbor inflicts upon you in comparison to that? And because the mercy which God has shown you and everything that you now suffer cannot possibly compare to the glory which God has prepared for you in heaven. All the troubles of this life become a light burden, so that even the great and grievous sins against us seem small when we think of the greater glory of eternal life that shall be ours. And since the mercy and promises of God have made them so small, then they are certainly small enough for you to forgive them, however greatly you may have felt their hurt. How different things are when you go to your neighbor with mercy and compassion, with meekness and humility, rather than with righteous indignation.
when you have come before the altar of God, confessing your sins, then Christ himself has become the neighbor whom you wronged, and he comes to you, and he removes the plank from your eye, and he shows you what it means to be merciful by showing you great mercy, greater mercy than you could ever show another. Only Jesus can forgive all your sins, even your hidden sins, which you don't even remember. Only he can open the eyes of the blind. Imagine how much more likely you will be received by the person who sins against you. How much easier it will be for him to hear your words if you do not treat his sin as worse than your own. And then you can judge him in a much better way. You can show him the same mercy that God has shown you. And you can consider his soul to be just as worthy of salvation as your own. Therefore, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. The judgment which Jesus urges you to set aside is your own personal judgment against your neighbor, your own refusal to forgive, to consign his soul, as far as you're concerned, to eternal damnation, all because he's harmed you. Who but God has the right to do this? Did God ever make you that kind of a judge? Did he put you in the position of Christ, that you on the last day will be the one to send a man to hell? Yes, you might find yourself in a position where, despite going in meekness, the person who harmed you is unrelenting and hard-hearted. If the fault is bad enough, and if they are no Christian, that you may be even compelled to turn them over to the government. But even then, your neighbor is not yours to judge. That is why God has invented human courts and set up certain powers to deal with the stubborn criminals. You should no more damn your neighbor in his heart or in person than you should put on a judge's robe and sentence him to time in prison. It is not your place. And even when you are unable to resolve a matter peacefully with someone and must bring in the human authorities, then too you should remember that the mercy of God still rests upon you, and you should desire to reconcile and forgive if it is at all possible. But if you ignore the grace of God and deny your neighbor what God has so richly given to you, then it is not your neighbor but God himself that will be your judge. And it is not your neighbor but God himself that will condemn you. For remember well the words of Jesus: if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Can you then ever go to a brother who sinned against you? Can you ever call him to repentance? Tell him how he's wronged you? By all means. That is how the Father in heaven has shown you mercy. He comes to you and he tells you your sin, so that you will know it and acknowledge it and repent of it. Jesus does not want you to ignore the sins of your neighbor and allow them to go to hell. What sort of compassion would you have if you were to watch a man running toward a cliff and did nothing to warn him? But even in the church, you are not to place yourself as the judge of another. Jesus bids you in Matthew 18 to go to your brother yourself, then with witnesses, but finally, to turn the matter over to the church, not you alone, but the church is to judge with the judgment and voice of Jesus Christ, calling the sinner to repentance and consigning him to the devil if he will not repent. And when the church excommunicates an impenitent person, even then the mercy of God is at work, showing him his sin, seeking to call him back, so that they can pronounce a far better judgment upon him. Those wonderful words, "I forgive you in the name of Jesus." For whether it is in the human courts, or over the backyard fence, in your living room, or in the church, be merciful and forgive one another. For God, in his Son, Jesus Christ, has been merciful to you and forgiven you all your sins. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O God, King Eternal, who made the seven stars and Orion and turns the shadow of the earth into the morning of life, who art the light and salvation and portion forever of thy people, we, thy children, seek thee now in prayer and beseech thee to rest thy hand in blessing upon us. Bless us, O Lord, with such faith in thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may believe in him with all our hearts, and trusting in his merits may have the assurance of everlasting life. Bless us from the fountain of thy love with the gracious water of life and the washing of regeneration in the Holy Spirit. Keep us ever within thy care. And as thy glorious creation has been marred by man's sinfulness and lies in travail under the shadow of thy judgment, defend us in all times of danger. Save us in every peril, from earthquake and storm, from hatred and war, from tyranny and persecution, from famine and plague, from corruption and rebellion, deliver us. Keep us securely within thy grace, O Lord, that by reason of our sins and frailty, we may never depart from thee. Help us to grow in grace now in the time of our vigor and in the hour of our death. Preserve us in the true faith of thy holy name. Grant that we may have inheritance with all thy children and know the joys of thy adoption in the redemption of our bodies and the resurrection unto life eternal. Make thy face to shine upon all thy church, that through her labor, the light of thy truth may shine in all the world, and that thy way may be known upon earth and thy saving health among all nations. Let her watchmen bear thy name in all godliness and purity, and give her people gladness in thy true service. Stretch forth thine arm over our land, that thy power and glory may be seen from shore to shore, in the stately halls of government, in the precincts of commerce, in the classroom or on the farm, and in the minds and hearts of men of every dignity or position in life, that our people may repent of their sins, and that our land may know that thou art Lord over all, and that thou givest thy glory to none other. Be gracious to all our families, that our children may grow in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. To this end, give thy spirit to our parents, that they may be endowed with Christian virtues and live in obedience to Christ's commandments. Lift up thy face, O Lord, upon all who suffer sickness or sorrow, the infirmities of age or the weariness of toil, separation from loved ones or uncertainty in decision, misunderstanding or bitterness, or any other adversity, and grant them thy peace. Show thyself to them as a very present help in time of need, giving them wisdom and understanding, wholeness of mind and body, courage and hope. We bring these petitions to thee, O Lord, and ask all things for Christ's sake. Amen. We sing hymn number 349. Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
take and eat the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins.
May this sacrament strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us in the same through faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We close with hymn 380. Thank you.
the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.